In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is powered by Pelican Brewing. Take a break with Pelican's Beak Breaker, the Northwest's favorite double IPA, Pelican Brewing Company. Cheers, fellow fanatics.
Today's Daily Ticker fueled by Pelican Brewing's Beak Breaker IPA. Big hops, big flavor, a crisp finish. Beak Breaker is the perfect way to stay refreshed through every bracket-busting upset, of which we have not had very many. And joining us now to talk about that is our good friend David Cobb of CBS Sports. Covers college basketball and college football for CBS Sports. You can give him a follow on Twitter at David W. Cobb. David, good morning to you. We were having a conversation earlier in the show, and I saw you tweet about this weekend. The idea of the death of the Cinderella. Where are our Cinderellas? Why don't we have more upsets? Your thoughts on the opening 4 days of the tournament, the lack of Cinderellas, and what does that mean overall for the long-term health of the Cinderella?
Boy, but you guys are trying to get me going early on a Monday. I appreciate it. I actually need a little kick in the butt today because these last 4 days, man, it's a whirlwind in the content business. But I don't think Cinderella is dead. I think she's just taking a nap. Because look, it was 2 years ago we had San Diego State and Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. It was within the NIL era that we had number 15 seeds like Oral Roberts and St. Peter's and Princeton in the Sweet 16. That was during the NIL era. So I mean, what we're seeing is more so conference consolidation. That's what that's what you get when you bunch all the teams, all the biggest brands together in a handful of conferences. As y'all know good and well, there is no Pac-12 anymore. Everybody wants to say, wow, this is the first Sweet 16 with no mid-majors. And yes, that is factually correct. But look, I mean, 2 years ago, BYU was in the WCC. 2 years ago, Houston was in the American, right? So we're having a different conversation without conference consolidation. I think that's more what this is about. I mean, I don't blame anyone for being worried about Cinderella. I like it when Cinderella shows up to the NCAA tournament, too. I just think this is one of those years where, the ball didn't bounce her way.
David, it feels like when we talk college basketball, at least right now for this year in this tournament, it feels a little NBA-ish to me. Like, I just want to talk about the sport and the games, and people want to respond with, yeah, but the TV viewership, and oh, this is what's wrong with the sport. I hate to be that guy with it, but the other thing that killed me this weekend, I mean, we need 85 reviews per game, and they need to take 5 minutes per review. Is there any hope that this changes? I know there's some rumors out there of maybe they do the coaches challenge stuff, but I've seen some reports that kind of dispute that coaches wouldn't like that. So, like, what do we do to eliminate it? Because it got a little ridiculous this weekend.
It absolutely did. And case in point was the last couple of minutes of Arizona Oregon. It was just brutal. It was hard to watch. It took forever, and it was just unnecessary. I'm 100% in agreement with you on that. It's not good for college basketball when we spend more time at the monitor. And these games take 2.5 hours now, right? Like last night, it's not like there's another game coming on afterwards that gets cut into, but all the time during the regular season, it's like, well, we're actually going to get to the start of Oregon and USC on ESPN News because we're doing 100 reviews on the game that came before it, and it lasts two hours and 45 minutes. I mean, I would have to imagine, I haven't seen the data on this, but I would have to imagine that the average game length in high major Division I college basketball on these games that are on the major networks is longer than ever before because of the reviews. We got to do something to fix that. I think it should be a pitch clock. Like we have in Major League Baseball now, the pitcher has a certain amount of time before they have to throw the next pitch, right? I think there should be a 1 minute clock on the review, on the scores table. When the officials go over there to look at the monitor, they should have 1 minute to decide what they're going to do. And after that 1 minute expires, they just have to go with the best resolution they can conjure up in that 1 minute. I mean, let's just get back to playing basketball.
I agree 100% with that take. There has to be a limit on it. If you can't find enough evidence in a minute to overturn something, then what the hell are we looking for anyways? David Cobb is our guest, college basketball writer for CBS Sports. Go give him a follow on Twitter at David W. Cobb. Well, we talked about the death or not death of the Cinderella, so I'll ask you kind of a follow-up to that a little bit.
What has been the biggest surprise of the first 4 days of the tournament for you?
Well, it's the first year coaches. if you want a big picture takeaway from the first week into the NCAA tournament, it's this idea that you can flip a team in year one, flip an entire program in year one. And we've kind of known that in the portal era. You can flip something quicker than you could before when you had to coach the prior staff's players. And now you don't have a choice, because when there's a coaching change, everybody who was on the team is going to leave. So you really don't have a choice. You have to rebuild from scratch when you take a new head coaching job in Division I these days. And we see Arkansas, Kentucky, BYU, Michigan, all here in the Sweet 16 with first-year coaches. It's pretty amazing, the fact that you can flip it in year one like that. And honestly, guys, it puts a lot of pressure on guys who are getting new jobs right now, because all their fans are looking around the country and seeing, well, so-and-so made the Sweet 16 in their first year. There is no more of this grace period, and, oh, we got to build, and oh. If you have NIL, and that's a big if for some of these programs, but if you do, you can build a 2026 Sweet 16 roster today. The transfer portal opened today, and that's where your championship rosters for next season are being built.
David, who would you tell our listeners you thought was going to win this before the tournament started, and who do you think now is the best team given the couple games we've been able to watch?
I went with Florida as my champion pick prior to the bracket, or prior to the beginning of play. Boy, Duke looks really good though, doesn't it? I'll tell you what, I am intrigued by. I mean, we all saw Caleb Love last night, and when he's on, he's spectacular. And the ironic thing is that 3 years ago, he was at North Carolina and ended Coach K's career in the Final Four. Glorious. When North Carolina beat Duke. Now 3 years later, he's got a chance to end the Cooper Flag run. So I think it's a great storyline. But boy, I'd be surprised if Caleb Love can dig deep enough to get past Cooper Flag and Duke, because they are playing at an unreal level right now. So, I mean, I'm not completely off of Florida, but it's hard to deny the fact that Duke is playing really amazing basketball.
Let's ask you a question, David. You covered the sport. I'm sure you filled out some brackets or one bracket. Everybody loves doing that this time of year. We started the show today talking about the idea of, what does it mean that your bracket is busted? So if you tell somebody that your bracket is busted, what does your bracket look like?
I feel like at this point, your bracket is, quote, busted if you've had two of your Final Four eliminated.
Okay. Yeah.
Certainly if you had your national champion eliminated. Yeah. But the thing is, there are no perfect brackets left. That's the amazing thing about this. There's so many millions of combinations that it's almost impossible to have the Sweet 16 correct. And it's crazy, too, is this is a relatively predictable Sweet 16 in the sense that there's not a 15 seed in here. There aren't really. I mean, I think Arkansas is the only double digit seed still left standing. So in theory, this one should have been easier to predict. But last I've heard, there are no perfect brackets left.
The Elite Eight matchup that David Cobb needs the most to inject into his veins is who?
Well, you got to realize you're talking to a Southerner here. So Tennessee, Kentucky would really do it for me. That would be incredible. So Kentucky's already beaten Tennessee twice this season. There's a bit of a border war there, two schools separated by less than 3 hours. And the ironic thing is that Tennessee, for its first weekend, was playing in Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. That's just a strange thing to have that building taken over by Orange. And so I'm sure Kentucky fans weren't happy about that. I'm sure they'd love to put Tennessee in its place this coming weekend.
Great stuff. David Cobb covering college hoops for CBS Sports. Go find all his great work, cbssports.com, and you can give him a follow on Twitter, @DavidWCobb, one of our favorites. Thanks so much for the time, man, breaking down the opening week of the tournament, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
For sure. Thank you, guys.